challenge. I kind of thought I'd have it nipped in the bud because I've been doing it now for 20 years. But I've never actually been an external person doing this. I've only ever been a part of the department. So for me, logging on and doing my training, I did it yesterday afternoon just to have a little practice and make sure I was on the right track. Takes me, you know, 20 minutes and I'm done because I've been doing this for so long. But as an external person coming in and doing the Department of Education, there were a couple of extra steps that needed to be involved. So what I did, I actually made up an account. I better ask for some forgiveness for that one, and under my daughter's name, because I can't do it under my name because I'm part of the department and therefore unable to link in as an external person. So I linked in as my daughter Eliza. She doesn't know yet, but she'll be fine. And we basically, I basically started to take some screenshots of what it might look like when you actually go in this as an external person yourself. So the very first thing to do now that you've linked up to Wi-Fi is to get onto the internet. So you might do it through Explorer, you might do it through Safari, you might do it through Chrome. So link onto something that will allow you to access the internet. Some people had already linked on. The ones that have come from my school will actually come up as Department of Education. You'll get the DET portal login. Yeah, don't worry about that, that's fine.
You confirm.
Reverend Lee's just asked me to remind you that you use your legal name when you're linking into here. You might be known as something different, but your legal name is the one that will be presented, because you get a certificate at the end. Years has certainly indicated this as well, is that building relationships with kids is the thing that gets you over the line. As a classroom teacher, the number one thing I say to my teachers if they have a difficult child, find out something that kid likes. At the beginning of the year, find what it is that makes them tick. Ask the teacher last year, what was it that you got over the line with this particular child? What did they talk to you about? What did they have that made them feel important to you? You won't, in 30 minutes once a week, be able to build the most amazing relationships with the kids that you teach, but you will all have that one child that stands out on day one in the first 5 minutes of your lesson. And you'll think, oh, that's the one. That's the one. Now, for me, if I was in your situation, my mum used to be a scripture teacher many, many years ago. The one thing she used to do was find that one kid. And that's the kid you've got to build the relationship with. And that's the kid you meet at the door every time they come to scripture. Because most often you're there before the kids, because they also love that, because they get a good little walk and a little chance to go to the toilet, have a drink, nobody notices. Come in a little bit late. Meet that kid at the door. Be the person who says to that child as they walk in the door, hello, how are you? How's your week been? What have you been up to? How's football going? Because at least then they know that you've made an effort to get to know them. The other 85, 90% of the kids in the class, you don't ever need to do that because they just come and they do as they're told. But there's always that one or two that you know from the minute they walk in the door. They're the one that the kids cling to, and they're the ones that you remove very quickly from the group that they're sitting with. Because again, in scripture time, they know you don't know who they're not allowed to sit with. But generally in classrooms, don't even think about it, is what we say, and they move. So be aware of that and pick it up straight away. You will. You know you will. You've all done it before and you're nodding, going, yep, I know that one kid. Or two or three maybe sometimes. But get to know them. And if you don't really know them, again, that's what your supervisor, the religious education supervisor at the school is for. I used to do that in my previous schools. That was one of my jobs. And I would be available at the beginning. I would always, you know, welcome them on the first day. And then I would say, if there are any concerns or problems, please let me know. And then that one kid who I knew was going to cause grief, that's the scripture teacher I'd walk in. And I'd say, you're going to have this particular child in your class. His name is so-and-so or their name is so-and-so. Watch them. Anything that goes wrong, you let the person know who's in the room or around the room know straight away, and I will come and get them. Half an hour is all you've got. You don't have time to manage bad behaviour. You just don't. And the other kids in the class have a right to understand and know that that half an hour is precious to you and precious to them and their families. They've chosen for them to go there. There are numerous times that I have removed children from scripture classes and not allowed them to go back That's been a discussion with their parents to say, you do understand that the person teaching them is a volunteer, they do not get paid to have your child misbehave in their classroom. Quite often I've had backlash from that and I've had to deal with it. I'm happy to deal with it. I just don't think it's fair. When the parent has actually decided to send the child there, then that's the responsibility that that child's taking. So don't be afraid to stand up and say something to somebody and just say, you know what, it is really difficult to get my lesson done with that particular child. They might say, you know, the best way to get them, talk to them about skating on the weekend, talk to them about football. Then you'll go, right, okay, now I've got it. Half an hour, it's a very short amount of time for you. So building relationships or finding out about that one kid or the two kids is really, really important for you to do in those first couple of lessons. Don't leave it and hope it's going to get better, because guess what, it won't. If anything, it will get worse and they'll actually encourage other kids to join in. So don't leave it. Stomp on it straight away and make sure you've got a relationship with that child. The next one is about with-itness. We talk about this a lot in teaching, in the fact that we tell kids we've got eyes in the back of our head and we can see absolutely everything that you do. It's really, really important never to turn your back on kids. Okay? Even if you have to write something on the board, kind of write like this. Write, look back. Write, look back. Constantly maintain eye contact and keep talking as you're writing. Because as soon as you turn your back like this, goodness knows what can happen behind you. Yeah. And most often it's not good. So don't turn your back. Just keep your eyes ahead of you all the time. Keep watching what's going on in the classroom and just keep scanning. You know, because you can guarantee there will be that one child who finds themselves, I keep putting my back to you a little bit, who finds themselves wiggled till they're underneath the side of the desk or a chair. You all know them as well. They're the ones to keep dragging back. Next week, I want you to sit right down the front with me. It's a very special place just for you. Okay? So just keep that with-itness. They're likely to misbehave if they don't think you can see. All right, and if you definitely have your back to them, then they know you can't see. So they will do something to cause you a little bit of grief. Next one, structure your teaching. Now, I know that this is something that you're going to be doing for the rest of this session and then I think tomorrow as well. There's a lot around structuring your lesson, and these days we're doing a lot more of allowing children to be a part of lessons. So it's not so much about the old chalk and talk that we used to do when I first started teaching 20-odd years ago. It's now more about involving them in the learning. And I had a very quick scan over the first week, week one lesson plans. They're intense, they're thick, they're heavy. I don't know if you'll get through it all, because there does seem to be quite a lot there. But they do actually involve a bit of group work and a bit of activity work. So when I initially chatted with Nikki about developing lessons and stuff like that, we talked a lot about making sure that you know what it is your aim of teaching that day is. And that's where on the top you've got your outcomes and your learning indicators at the top there on the right. If you have a lesson that is structured and set, you won't lose them. It's usually the downtime that you have that causes kids to get distracted or lose engagement. So it's when you're kind of thinking, ooh, 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 what do I need to do next? Where am I up to? What am I going to do? I know, let's meditate, that it will take you 10 minutes to get them to meditate rather than 2 minutes because they're already off task. So being really structured in your lesson, making sure that your teaching is ready to go all of the time, that you're not looking for something, that you're not taking 5 minutes to find their books or hand them out. Quite often scripture teachers will ask, can they leave their books behind? Great idea. But you make sure you put them where you want, or at least ask the teacher, can I put them here for next week? Because I've walked in scripture lessons and the teacher's going, I know they were there last week and now I can't find them. And they'll be, you know, a whole week's a long time in a teaching classroom. And you'll spend 10 minutes just trying to find the books that the kids have to do the activity out of. When you get there, make sure the books are with you. Be prepared. Make sure you've got your stuff ready. These lesson plans are very in-depth. They're timed. Everything in them is concise. There's an introduction. There's a modelled bit where you're actually doing some teaching. There's some guiding where you're working with the kids. And then there's an independent section as well. So It is very, very intense. And that's not even included. I don't think meditation is even included in there. And I know that many of you do that, either to start the lesson or to end it or sometime during, which again, I think is a great idea. It's a nice little downtime for kids as well. If you're dealing with really young kids, K1, 2, you can pretty much guarantee that their attention span is their age plus 2 for the average child. Anyone who's not that good at maintaining their attention will be less than that. So you're talking 7 minutes maximum that you're going to have to talk with these kids before they lose attention. So just keep that in mind. The lessons are great. I literally had a quick scan, but they do look very intense and quite in-depth as well. But use that as your base plan. Again, when someone else is writing your lesson plans, it's not easy to follow someone else's work either. And I know that there's going to be a time where you actually write your own. Is that correct? That they'll start having a look at how they do it themselves, because it's nice when it's yours. You do a whole lot better job when it's yours. But making sure you structure your teaching, make sure you have those clear lesson goals so that you know in your head what you want to have achieved by the end of the lesson. It's massive. It is only for half an hour. I understand that. But I think if you do it well from the start, you'll have no problems at all keeping the kids' attention and engagement in those areas. Nick, small problems in the bud. Like I said before, it's really important when you see something happening to stop it straight away. So if you see that kid moving back into the desk area or hiding underneath the chair, it's important. Sometimes it just takes eye contact. Oh, she's watching. She knows that I've just wiggled myself back under a chair, and all you might need to do is just go, not even say anything, or just move back to the group. Sometimes it's a good idea, and I'll get to this bit in a minute too, where you actually talk about kids around them who are doing the right thing. Oh, I love the way you're sitting, Sally, with your legs crossed and your arms folded and you're looking straight at me. That's a great way. I know that you're listening to me. And then suddenly that child may or may not pick up on that and go, oh, I want to be like them, and do the same thing. But don't let anything get too big. Don't kind of go, oh, he's wiggled back that far, but I'll let him go and see how much further he goes. You go to the board, you do something, next minute three chairs have been knocked over, a table's moved out the way, because that kid has now taken that opportunity to go under the table and kick a chair. Because that's what they want. They want your attention. It's usually the only reason kids misbehave is because they want your attention. Give it, but give it straight away. Nip it in the bud straight away. Make sure you don't let that go. Group reinforcement, this is the one. So reinforcement is really just about giving a reward to a whole group of children to make the other child feel like they need to do the same thing. Now, I'm not talking reward as in sticker, lolly, anything like that, nothing like that. It can be as simple as a word. It can be, well done, everyone. I really love the way that you're sitting so nicely while that kid's rolling and doing tumbles down the side. So not always, but sometimes that can be enough. And you might say to them, because you sat so beautifully, these people on the floor, next week when you come, we can start by colouring in the sheet that you've missed out on this week or whatever it might be. So you might give the whole group reward, especially if you've got that one that's driving you crazy. Give the rest a reward and say, oh, well, I'm sorry, but you weren't sitting nicely. So unfortunately, next week when everyone else is colouring, you're going to have to sit on the mat with me and practice sitting up to show me that you can do it. Might only take a minute, but it's enough to make them know that you mean business. You're not being horrible. You're not being mean. You're simply stating, these are the expectations that I have, and this is what you need to do. Everyone else was doing it. Congratulations, everyone else, which is a nice reward for them as well. But unfortunately, you're going to miss out on that today. Okay, so don't be afraid to do that too. Give the group something and hold that one child or two children back who are not doing the right thing. They'll soon realise that you mean it and that you do have expectations of their behaviour. The other really important thing is individual reinforcement. Some schools have a program called PBL. You'll notice if they're a PBL school, when you walk into the school, they might have huge signs around the place that has, this is how you behave in the assembly area, this is how you behave in the canteen, this is how you behave in the office, and they'll have their four school rules. They might be blue, green, red, yellow, it's usually the colours that we use. The whole idea of that program is it's about positive behaviour for learning, and we know that we get the best learning done when our kids are on task and they're doing the right thing and they're being good kids. So Individual reinforcement, sometimes not as effective as group reinforcement because there's not as much peer pressure. But if there is that one child who's doing the right thing, they deserve to be recognised. So it's sometimes nice to say to that one child, your behaviour is absolutely beautiful every time I come here, or I really like the way that you've understood exactly what we were talking about today and you were able to tell me everything that our learning intention stated from the start of the lesson. Well done to you, and, you know, I don't know if you do have little prizes or something, here you go. Okay? Now, it's not as effective for everybody else in the group, but it's really effective for that one child. Yeah. Now, again, we tend to find ourselves falling into the trap where the naughty kids are the ones we give the most positive reinforcement to, because when they are good, you want to go, yes, they're good. Here you go, have a cup, have whatever. Have a biscuit, have a lolly, whatever it might be. You tend to do that because you feel like you've succeeded and you feel good for them and you feel good for yourself. Be careful of that. Do it, definitely, because positive reinforcement, attention, is what they're seeking all of the time anyway. So do that. That's not a problem. But just make sure you don't forget that good kid who's always beautiful all of the time. Just remember that. Keep it in the back of your head for those kids. Routines. The one thing I like about the lesson plan that I quickly had a look over is that the structure of the lesson plan will be the same for every lesson that you teach. And I think that's really important, especially when you're only in there for half an hour once a week. So the routines that kids get themselves in are the things that make it successful. Any of us who are mums, any of us who are mums in here will know that if our children are in a routine, our lives and theirs run a whole lot smoother. Same in the classroom. And it's those kids who have trouble with change of routine, and it can be as simple as go to scripture. Those particular kids, especially if they have autism or some sort of learning disability, those kids find it really difficult to make that change. The walk from the classroom to the scripture classroom is enough to send them off. And suddenly you get them and they're 10 decibels higher than they were when they left the classroom. So the routine that you set in that quick half hour that you've got is going to be really important. So they know when they come in that they don't bring their fruit with them, that if they have their fruit, it goes on the side and they come and sit on the floor in front of you, and that's how you start your lesson every time. Or if they come in and they sit at a desk, then that's how you start your lesson each and every time. So I think these particular plans will help you do that better if you haven't got that already in down pat in your classrooms. But certainly make it routine, especially that entering the classroom, because that's when they've had that crazy 2 or 3 minutes when they've moved from a classroom to your room that you're working in at the time. You would even notice, and it might be worth having a little observation when you go back, the kids who stay in the room that you go into for scripture who don't have to move will be 20 times more settled than those that enter. So just get them in, set it up straight away. It might be that you begin every single lesson that you do with a 2-minute meditation. If that's what you do, do it every single time so they know they come in, fruit or whatever they've got in their hands goes on the side, they sit for half an hour and they start on the mat doing a meditation. You'll see the difference that happens once you set that up as a routine. A little more difficult for you because you are only there half an hour, but I think it's possible. Rules. Now, the school will have rules, the classroom will have rules that you leave from the teacher. However, you're not getting just those kids. Unfortunately, you get kids from lots of different classrooms. So on your first lesson, it might be a good idea to just establish a couple, no more than 2 or 3 rules that you have for the group that you have in that particular classroom. So 3 really simple rules that they will remember. That way, once you've got your rules, whenever they enter, they know that they're yours. It's not the classroom rules, it's not the school rules, that's different. These are your scripture time rules, and there are just 3 of them. 1 is that you use your manners, 2, you don't run around the classroom, 3, you sit using your 5 L's. You've probably all heard about 5 L's, most classrooms use those. And that's just 5 learning goals that they have. So they have to listen, look, laps, legs, something like that. But there are 5 L words, you can look that up if you haven't got those. They work nicely. I would even probably have those written up somewhere that you take every week with you. So you might have them on a piece of cardboard, you might have them on a piece of paper. If you use an interactive whiteboard for your lessons, you might use that as your start. Don't forget what our 3 rules are, that we These are the three rules for scripture. These are the ones that we're going to remember. Use the same ones for the whole year. You might even ask the kids what they think are the best rules, because often they will come with some background knowledge on that type of stuff, having done it in their classroom. So what do you think would make our scripture lessons run so well? Here are our three rules. This is what we're going to have. How do you feel about those? Yep, they're great. They might even, as a result of that, come up with, and I should have had that one next, but actually come up with the consequences that match that. And I'll talk to you about those in a minute. Emotional objectivity. This is hard. It's really hard for classroom teachers. It's hard for me as a principal. And it's really hard for you guys because, again, half an hour in a whole week and that's it. There are times when your buttons will be pushed and you do start to feel yourself get a little bit hotter and your heart races a little bit and you think, oh, I just want that kid out of here. How do I get him out? How do I remove that child from this room? Best option is to remain calm. Now, you're in the right religion for that because it's all about maintaining peace and calm. Hence why I come here quite often when I start to stress out a bit. But it's that deep breath time. And it's sometimes you've got to have it yourself, you know. When you've got everything running beautifully and then that kid does knock the chair flying on purpose or does walk up and punch someone in the back just because they want to, whatever, they're the times where you just have to grab your breath, be calm, and just remain objective at all times. And get help if you need it. Don't be afraid to do that. That is why the teacher is out there. Get help, or the teacher is in there with you. Make sure that you look to them and just say, you know what, I don't know how to deal with this one. They deal with them every day, half an hour once a week. That's all you've got. So it's not easy to come up with that. So don't be afraid to do that, but do remain calm at all times. And I guess in my role now, I have to remember that. Not so much with kids, because I don't see many of those, but parents. When the parents come riled with an issue, it's very easy for me to get defensive if they've got an issue with one of my teachers or the way we run things. It's easy to get a bit defensive about it, but the reality is they're coming because they are upset about something. So I have to remain objective. I have to remain calm. I have to listen to what they have to say, and then I can deal with it. Quite often, if something like that gets you riled, it's a really good time to make that relationship with that kid. Because that's the time when everyone else is doing the right thing in that group time or whatever it might be where they're off working on their own, that you can pull them aside, sit with them and you can say, talk to me, what's going on? Why'd you do that? That's not like you. You don't normally behave like that. Why would you do that in our very short amount of time that we get together? You normally behave when you're here in scripture time. Have a think about those kids. Consequences or punishments. Their reality, their life. I think we all know that. We all have those, regardless of whether someone else gives them to us or we give them to ourselves. But a part of every program that we run in schools, as positive as our behaviour system might be, even with PBL, it's really important to have a consequence side. And quite often the consequences can be as simple as, for us, for example, in our classrooms, we have a non-verbal you first. So for example, like I said, you know, you might just need to say to that child who's under the table, that's it. Or you might just have to shake your head. I'm not going to have that. That kind of stuff. So the non-verbal cue is a nice one to start with. Then it might be that you do praise someone else around them. So that might be your next step. So you've already done that and they still haven't come. So you might say, I really love the way, Tommy, that you're sitting with your legs crossed and your eyes are looking at me, your body's facing me and you're right away from the tables. So you've made it very clear that that's the thing you want that kid to do. So you've given them the non-verbal, you've given them the praise around them, then you might give them the actual, Tommy, I want you away from there. Move away from the table. You can't listen to me. I know you're going to be distracted. Move away and come and sit closer to me. If they choose not to do that, that's when you have to have a consequence for that action. Because if you let it go, guess what he's going to do next week? Exactly the same thing. So you might use a strategy where you say, I want you to move away from the group, or you might look at the teacher and go, hello, and the teacher should be proactive enough to go, Tommy, get out from under the table. That's it. That's what I would do. Move away from the table or you're outside. So sending kids out isn't always easy in your boat because you don't know where they're going. Yes. So when they go out, you could be sending the runner, who runs not only out, but out the gate. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you're left with that consequence. So for you in a classroom, it's probably best to make them miss out on something. So I'm sorry, Tommy, but during that time, so leave them, let them go. Like, worst case scenario, they're going to knock over a chair, knock over a table, be distracted. That's not the worst case. Other things would happen. Let them keep going, but as soon as you do something fun, they miss out. So that's the strategy I would use. So I'd give them all those chances. They're chances. Like, you're giving them a lot of time to do the right thing. If at the end of the day they don't do the right thing, then you miss out on the good bit. When everyone else goes back to colouring their sheet, I'm sorry, you weren't doing the right thing. You need to sit here and show me that you can do the right thing. It might only take 30 seconds, because he may really want to colour in. So it might only take, no, over here, show me how you sit properly. Right, next week I'm going to expect that you sit like that the whole time and you don't go under the desk. Because if you do go under the desk next week, I'll arrange with one of the teachers to come and get you. So if you do need to get to that point, arrange with your supervisor or the teacher who's looking after you or the next classroom as well. Just say, look, last week I had a bit of a problem with Tommy. He kept going underneath the table. This week, if it happens, I am going to send him out. Where will I find you? Because if you don't follow up, they will keep doing it. They will. They will keep doing it. They do it to us, and we have them all of the time. If I don't put a consequence in place for the child who misbehaves, I will get that behaviour again. But I won't just get it from that child. I'll get it from the three others who are on the tip of either going with them or staying with you. So don't let it go. Make sure that you do have those consequences around. And, you know, like I say, half an hour, it's not a long time, but it's long enough to have a really horrible 30 minutes if you let it go.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
All right, so they're my top 10 tips for you. Oh, I've literally got 1 minute, haven't I? So I was hoping you'd get a little bit more time to do your stuff. Thank you very much, Alison.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
That was fantastic. Thank you.
Session. I think today we had a bit of struggle at the beginning, but the good news is we are progressing and we're getting there.
You are definitely getting there.
I think the content was delivered in a very succinct but powerful way. So it's short but sweet. And we definitely would like to hear more from you this year. So very likely we'll invite Ellen back for more training.
Yay! Yeah.